reasons that the speakers are far better explaining than am I. So with that, we'll move to our first speaker. Each speaker will have 21 minutes, okay? So I encourage all speakers to not take the whole 21 minutes, okay? I would recommend leaving a few minutes for questions, if possible, because that feedback is usually extremely helpful. To the speakers, when you are 5 minutes from conclusion, I'll give you a high five, okay? And when you see the high five, just acknowledge the fact that you see you have 5 minutes left and I'll lower my hand. But I will hold people strictly to this once we get going. The only person I won't hold to be punctual is myself, unfortunately. So with that, what I'd like to do is introduce our first speaker, Dr. Shubhra Gangopadhyay, who will be speaking, and a number of co-authors with her who she'll introduce. And she'll be speaking on photovoltaic and beta voltaic efforts at the University of Missouri here on the Columbia campus.
So does anybody have a laser pointer? I don't know how to give a talk without laser pointer. Or a stick. All right.
Sorry about that. Here, let me see what I can find.
Thank you. And I promise I'll return. Yes. Okay, so I don't know if you, I mean, you must know about photovoltaic if you are using solar panels somewhere. I want to give you a story of why I'm doing and what I'm doing. I'm a physicist. When I was a young scientist, I spent 10 years of my life starting my career with the solar cells, okay, using amorphous silicon. And you will see that a lot of solar panels today on glass is made out of amorphous silicon because you can deposit them at low temperature. And so the question is, why just I worked for 10 years and did not work? And reason is that in 90s, when the oil price was down, nobody cared about solar energy. And as a young physicist who has to get tenure to get front, you have to look for area which funds you. And so that's why we moved to microelectronics, where things were getting smaller and more exciting. And so I changed my area to microelectronics, and it went very well. And finally, solar is back, so I am back. And so the question is, can I just keep doing what I was doing and tweak the knob? You know, in 20 years when US was not funding solar cell amorphous silicon, Europe and other Japan, they were funding, and it has progressed quite a bit. So if you try to get into that crowded field, it's not that easy. And of course, the technology is almost saturated, so there isn't much to do. And so the efficiency is still low. It cannot solve energy problem. So what should we do? So new areas are emerging. And what is interesting is that now this nano word shows up. As you know, nano is very important, something you can't see. You don't know what it does. But it is exciting. And so only solution people see is now when you can integrate what is already there with nano to enhance some properties which will give you something exciting or enhance the efficiency and so on. Without then, you just cannot get there because, I mean, theoretically you can, but experimentally, I'm an experimentalist, you know, we are getting to the point where it's saturated. And so that's what we do is, we have an International Center of Micro Nano Systems Technology. We do a lot of nano material and nano processing. And so the key is that if I can have these nanostructures integrated, hybrid structures where have something exciting, integrate them, we may be able to get the high efficiencies and so on. And so what I'm looking for is we do a lot of different areas in my lab and in my facility, and you will see that goes all over the place. I'm going to focus on first two. But we do have nanocatalysts for biomass conversion, supercapacitors, and hydrophobic surfaces to dido particles. And a lot of this is on the third floor where you didn't go yet, but you will. There is a booth where all these things are discussed, and there are nice posters. If you're interested, you can go, and my group will help you to go over it. And so I'm just going to focus on photovoltaic, beta voltaic. Beta means, you know, it's an electron with a very high energy. And if I can capture that energy and convert it into, you know, electrical energy, that will be exciting. But why look for nuclear radiation? The motivation is that the lifetime of the source could be 5 years, 10 years, or 100 years. And so once you start to use that beta source for charging, you don't have to look for that plugging system, which you do today in electrochemical batteries and other systems. So it will be continuously charging, your battery. So that's the motivation. And of course, we have this reactor, nuclear reactor, which is very friendly, and they are extremely, extremely good collaborators who are willing to work with you on creating these beta source thin films, or thin structures, which you can integrate with your device to make a real device. So what is my goal here? And this is how beta voltaic works. So I'm going to focus at this time on beta voltaic. So you have a semiconductor p-n junction. That's how solar cells work, and it's moving by itself. So I don't know how to stop it. Anyway, and so so basically you hit with these electrons. They go through your p-n junction, absorbed, and then it creates electron hole pair. This p-n junction has a built-in field which will separate it, and then you can collect, you know, the at the load, you can collect the energy, electrical energy. And so principle is simple. What's the problem? As you know, that when they knock out electrons, they can knock out your atoms and destroy your semiconductor p-n junction. So you need a radiation-hard material. And so according to, you know, the established theory and fact, that you need a large band gap material. Okay, and also the efficiency of conversion goes is related to large band. So you are looking for large band gap materials, all right, and radiation hard. Why, if you look at beta voltaic or converting this beta to electrical energy, the total, it keeps moving. It's on timer, I think, this computer. So basically your total specific power may not be high, but total specific energy is high. So if I can combine this with this, I will be somewhere here. And that would be the ideal case. So there are many groups working on this project. There is a company, Q Energy. They are making these devices. Guess what the cost is? So the cost is, I don't know, $5,000 or $10,000 per piece. And you don't want your cell phone to have that $20 cell phone to have $10,000 battery. So all our focus is how do I make these devices on plastic or glass substrates? So I can make a very high quality, but can I make it cheap enough so you and I can have it, okay? And so that's what is our, so all the things we are doing. So what you will see is I'm trying to put together these parts to see how I can do this low temperature, large surface area plastic, and so on. And so, and once you develop these processes, believe me or not, you can use it for photovoltaic to many other applications. So integrating nanotechnology with this material. So this again shows the comparison between lithium and battery. No offense to Kokam. Their batteries are still, you know, very useful. They told me one of the lithium batteries blew up in one of the labs yesterday or day before, and blew up the big lab, DOE lab.
CCOM
lab. Okay, this doesn't blow up. I know how to blow up.
Not our
it's not Kokam battery, okay? So don't take it. It's not, their batteries never blow up. So you have a stamp there, yeah? All right, so first thing we started to work with silicon carbide. It has a large band gap, it is radiation hard, and worked on some process thanks to my collaborator, Maruf Hossein. He worked very hard. So how do I crystallize? As you know, what you need is these materials to have a high mobility. Amorphous silicon has mobility of 1, okay? You to go for polymer, they have mobility of one or less, 0.01, 0.001. How do I get a low temperature? I need a very good crystal to have a high mobility, okay? I can't get it at low temperature. So what are the materials I should show? So we've developed, and I remember I need P-type and N-type material, low temperature process, well-controlled, high mobility. That's what I'm looking for. So this is my P-type. So what we did was deposited amorphous silicon and use thin layer of metal. When you heat it to certain temperature, metal goes through and it crystallizes the material. So that was our process without going to detail, is that put a thin layer of amorphous material, low temperature, go to 600, glass can still take this, and prepare your crystalline material. So we could crystallize it. Along with crystallizing, it dopes the material, so you have already doped material. We can, first we put it on silicon and make it nice. This is called PN junction, where you have, in reverse, very little current, in forward, you have large current, okay? So we were happy, we made PN junction, but what was the problem? My silicon carbide is radiation hard. I put it on silicon, which is not radiation hard. And so when I try to integrate it with a beta source, initially we can generate some power. This was our first device tested. However, with time you see it's reducing because my one part is still missing. I have N-type silicon, which is degrading the whole system. And so what we have to do is next go for how do I make a good N-type material at low temperature? And for that, then there are two materials you must have. You will see a lot of posters on zinc oxide. Zinc oxide is something you can make with whatever semiconductor industry uses, like sputtering, and you can make a very high quality, as I was saying, relatively at low temperature. This is a new material just coming out, 2004, that's when we published the paper. You can deposit at room temperature with a high mobility. And so this amorphous material you can get to high means compared to amorphous silicon, remember. One versus you can get to 15 to 20 at room temperature. So if I want to put it on plastic, this is the right material. So that's what we are trying to do, is find the material, find something I can put it on plastic. Here is a comparison of different materials, silicon, gallium arsenide, nitride. All these materials have to be deposited at very high temperature, MOCVD, MBD, MBE, these expensive equipment you need. But zinc oxide, you can sputter and still get, mobility is low, but I will show you that what we are getting. So here is your zinc oxide based, and again, a P-type zinc oxide is hard to make. N-type is easy, it's intrinsic. You have any oxygen in, vacancy or interstitials, they create the levels which gives you N-type dopant. They are shallow enough to create, these carriers. And so this is our structure we are working on with two types without going into detail. Schottky devices, when you put directly a metal, you create a billion potential at the junction, and you can use that directly or make a PN junction. And so I don't know how much you understand material, but this just shows about this is, you can deposit high quality material at 350 degree or lower. It's Raman, this, where as it gets sharper means better material. It's a crystalline nature of the material. Band gap is about 3.2. So this is the right material for beta voltaic. So what it compares, what you should look at, as I say, amorphous silicon and all polymers have low mobility. Look at the numbers we have gotten by just, you can get 17, 14 at 350 degree. Another thing you can see is just by varying the ratio of oxygen to argon, you can have all these concentration of the carriers. What it means is, in amorphous silicon, when I worked, I have to have phosphine to make it N-type. I need to have diboron to make it P-type. And people will, like, if I put it in my lab, boron and phosphine, I think the environmental health and safety is going to kick me out of the whole campus. They're already worried that I'm going to blow up something. So I have to be worried about, the safety, because they put me in a building, they don't even have a fire alarm, okay? So don't go near that building. That's why I keep telling Dr. Duncan I need a new building if you don't want me to create four more pillars there. So anyway, you know the story of pillars? It was burned down building by electrical engineers. So my dean says that I'm the next one. So what we are trying to do is, I like this material. You don't need all these nasty gases. You have a sputtering sister, you sputter, change oxygen concentration, and you can control the carrier density and pretty good mobility, anything above amorphous silicon and polymers. And so this shows that we are, again, using silicon because I have this N-type, I have P-type silicon carbide. We need to integrate all this, but at this time, we can make this at very high light sensitivity, 10 to the 4. So we have a very good material so far, which we can use for starting next week. I mean, we are making devices. I must tell you, Trubh, they are crappy so far. Because you can make good material, but device is a totally different story because zinc oxide is highly reactive. You put it on a metal, we have compared three different metal, and you have three different behavior because it reacts. It oxidizes. You put it on silicon, the next one will show that interface is very important for devices because if you have interfaces messed up, your device is gone. And so it shows that I put it on silicon, your current is two orders magnitude lower than if I put it on titanium because it reacts with silicon, making silicon oxide at the interface. It reacts with titanium. Titanium probably dopes it. So it's a band gap engineering, and making device is a challenge. But I think with all the yelling which I'm doing, I think it will work one day. Soon. It better work soon. So this is what we have, a summary of plan where we have made good material. We are starting to work on, you saw another material, indium gallium nitride, zinc, zinc oxide, I can't even say it, but you can sputter in the same chamber. And another thing is you need a dedicated chamber because this is not only reactive, it contaminates all your other materials. So it's really a very time-consuming process. We are also making zinc, a lot of people are making zinc oxide wires. So we have, you know, you can make zinc oxide wires with a very high quantity. So all these things we are working on. And so with that, I just want to show you that there is another material we have in the lab we are using for beta voltaic. And I think this is much more promising and very simple. And so what we have is these dielectric we are making. We call it SiCon. Okay, it's not SiCo. It's SiCon. It's silicon, carbon, oxygen, nitrogen. No hydrogen. These dielectrics you can deposit on plastic, and it can take very high voltage. You can see here voltages, 2,000, 3,000 volt, just few micron. This is our new invention, and a new baby in the family. We really like it because what it is some nanostructure built in a way, silicon carbide built into this silicon carbon nitride, all these hybrid where it has a very hard material. You can't scratch it. You can deposit. So while we are using it to coat windows for Boeing plane, we are also using as a capacitor for high voltage, high energy density capacitor. And so I'm almost done. So what we have is this material is also radiation hard. So we tested it with beta source. And so we are working with a company on using this. So you have a capacitor. Put this source. Think about it. This beta is going to charge your capacitor. Yeah. So you don't need anything. If you put this, it will be continuous source of charging for your battery. And so this is what we worked on is this company, Trace Photonics, used our capacitors. So they use, at this time, they're using polymers. So what's the problem with polymer? As you know, they degrade, they're not radiation hard. So we're working with him on how do you use this radiation hard dielectric for charging using the beta source. And not going into details because I have just a few minutes. Basically, it shows that how when you, with time, you charge, you can accumulate. These are the voltages. We have gone up to this thickness. Now we have sent them two more samples. This is their theory, but I think ours will go further down. They don't believe us, but I think they will. So we have sent two more samples. So we are going to develop this also. Make a capacitor. It can take high voltage and it has very low leakage. And you put your source directly, it's going to charge it directly and you can just get the energy out of it directly without anything. Just put it in your cell phone. So come to me after a year, you will see that happen, I hope. So with that, I will just say, if you can't walk down up to third floor where we are, these are other projects going on. Where we have things on polymer with collaborators, these dye-doped particles for these dye-sensitized cells. Again, the problem is people are using dye to make these cells, but dyes degrade. So we are making photostable these particles. You can see this is the dye by itself, bleaches, This one is a flat, means Shubhra's lab. And then a lot of carbon-based work. We are doing carbon for high surfaces, area carbon, electrochemical capacitors. We have a new process of making tons of carbon by combustion synthesis at room temperature, okay? I can blow up this polymer and make a lot of carbon at room temperature. And then this is a biomass where we are using catalysts to making catalysts inside. You give me a piece of wood, I will make catalyst inside it, and you burn it, and it should burn and convert into gas. So this is also a poster upstairs if you want to know about how we are using this catalyst. So not only make tons of catalyst, but use it to convert biomass and then recover it. That's what we project. So I think I have said enough and finished before the time. So thank you very much. And this is a last thing. This is our user facility, which you are welcome to use. There's a charge, very little, and you will be able to do whatever nano process and micro you want. Thank you very much.
We have 3 minutes for questions. Any questions or comments?
You don't want my battery? No questions? You don't believe me? Make a cheap capacitor, but they have to make, you know, the cheap source also. How do you package it where you don't want to be hit by that beta source? Beta source has a range is not very high, but we need to the packaging. So how am I going to do it? This afternoon, we have formed an NTEC nano consortium where we are working with industries to see how do we commercialize this product in short time. And so we will be meeting this afternoon where industries will talk about need, and energy is one of the areas we are going to focus on. And so if you, this is funded by industry, and so they are on our, that they want it for their application. So I hope that 1 to 2 years, if we can make cheaper sources, should be. Any other course? No? Yes?
Do you have any idea what the cost per kW is going to be?
No. As I said, that I'm making a cheaper material. However, the biggest thing is the radiation source. Can they make it cheap enough? My material is really, I can make, I'm using all the production capability which is used by semiconductor industry, and look at how the cost of your microchip has come down. So it's a very cheap, I can make it on 8-inch, or this can be roll-to-roll technology. The thing is, if it is have to better, for photovoltaic, yeah, we may get somewhere, but better voltaic, how cheap you can make these. So we have to work with our reactor to see if there is enough market. I think the market determines everything. Yeah? Yes.
What's the power density?
I showed you somewhere. I wish I remembered. I'm getting old. See.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Very good. May we continue to borrow this?